Today on Real Life Radio.
Can the dead rise again? Yeah, the God that I know, he not only can raise the dead, he once died and rose again from the dead to guarantee that he'll raise this dead guy.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. If you picked up your copy of the one-year Bible yet, we'll be reading that one-year Bible as a church family in 2024, so why don't you join us as we go through the one-year Bible together from cover to cover. It'll be awesome to see how God's Word comes alive through the pages of Scripture. It's an unforgettable devotional experience, and once you see how much God loves you, you will never be the same. The one-year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, And on the Third Day. You know, this series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as really only Luke the physician could do. Here now, as we begin chapter 24, we'll consider the greatest news that the world has ever heard. You see, Jesus' followers went to the tomb expecting him to be there in the tomb, but he wasn't there. Dead people, they have no power, but to their surprise, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that when Jesus rose on the third day, he had conquered death and the grave. The power of sin had been broken, and we were free from its grip. Now with his message called, And on the Third Day, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
They are implying that what they're doing there is ridiculous. You will not find Jesus in a graveyard. He is gone. Wow. Now look, you're going to go to a graveyard and take flowers on a Sunday afternoon. I understand that. Why? Because you are still grieving the dead. I understand that. I get that. But you can't do that about Jesus. We've all been there, but many of us have been there. In a few weeks, we'll be there again. And that is the empty tomb in Jerusalem. And it's so fun because out of respect, you're kind of quiet. It's so cool. Everyone's kind of like waiting their chance to go in. And this, next, oh man, I'm next. Get the camera ready, I'm next. And you go in, and people all go in very respectfully, and then they come out like this. Yes, oh man, yeah. One of the best things I've ever seen was somebody from some other group, everybody's in line, and this tall teenage kid, he didn't want to wait. And he's like this, and he's bouncing up and down, trying to peek over, and he had enough. And he goes up there, and he takes cuts, and he goes inside, and he looks around. And I don't know if it was a stunt or not. If it was a stunt, it was really pulled off well. The kid turns around. He's got this really depressed look on his face. He comes out and he just goes, he looks up to his friends. And he goes, there's nothing in here. And he walks away. That's right. There's nothing in there. You can go to the shrine and the tomb and the box and the bones and the bags of all these religious founders of their religions. Not Jesus. He's gone. Oh man, you Christians are weirdo, man. You go to the tomb of Jesus and there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. That's the point. I've been to Lenin's tomb. I've seen him. Socialism, communism. Oh, we gotta do socialism and communism. Let me tell you something. I've seen Lenin. He's dead. He looks really good though. I gotta tell you. He looks like he's alive. But he's dead. Would you follow someone who's dead? Why would you follow someone who's dead? Oh no, the one I think you ought to follow is the one who lives forever. What are you wasting your time doing? What are you doing? He's the one. Can the dead rise again? Yeah, the God that I know, he not only can raise the dead, he once died and rose again from the dead to guarantee that he'll raise this dead guy. Oh man, the day that my body dies, you're gonna come to my funeral. I won't be there. I'm glad you'll be there, but I ain't gonna be there. I refuse to come. I'm gonna be with the Lord. You're gonna go, there's Jack's body. Now, you know what? You know, dump it. I won't be there. The Bible says to be absent from that body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 12, therefore, just as through one man, that's Adam, sin came into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Every one of us are going to die. The statistics are overwhelming. 10 out of 10. Because all sin. Did you know that? Little cute Jordan a moment ago holding her up there in that baby dedication. She's so cute. She is cute, but she's a little sinner. We're all sinners. The Bible says that when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, that spiritual DNA was passed in his spirit to us. See, you have your father's eyes or your grandpa's eyes. Do you have your grandmother's hair? What is it? That's passed to the DNA of the physics. Okay? You have a soul, psuche in Greek. That's the mind. Your mind operates based upon a million different input links, be it how you were spoken to as a child, your chemical makeup, your personality. All these things make up your soul. Great. What about the spirit? The Bible says you are a body and a soul and a spirit. And listen, those things will live in eternity forever together. Just where is your decision? And your spirit, when you hear the word of God go out and you say things in your head, you hear it in your head like this, hey, that kind of makes sense. Hey, well, that's weird, but man, I could see that happening. And yeah, okay, I mean, I've sinned, I'm not perfect. And you begin to think, did you know what's happening? Your body is obviously alive. Your soul, mind, is alive. But the Bible says you're spiritually dead until you're born again. And your spirit begins to hear that, begins to wake up, begins to move. What? And Jesus is, as it were, calling you out of the grave. And you're housed within yourself. And listen, when you're dead, these things are a mockery because Christ has not risen to you. It's amazing. Also this, can his words be true? Verses 6 through 8. Remember how he spoke, the angel said, while he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man, listen to this, Jesus had said this over and over again. He said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Very quickly, church, three verses Jesus said, and these are just three. Matthew 16, 21, Jesus said, I'm going to be raised on the third day. Mark 9, 31, Jesus said, I'm going to be raised again on the third day. Luke 9, 22, on the third day, I'll rise again. John 14, 6, you know it well. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. We looked at that verse last week. Why? Because on the third day, he said of himself, I'll be risen from the dead. John 11, 25, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, listen to this, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he says, do you believe this? Wow. You guys, we need to rethink life and death. The unbelievable happened this way, verses 9 through 11, and that's this. Can the facts be believed? Can we believe the facts? Oh, yeah. Verse 9 says, then they returned from the tomb and told all, circle the word told. It's fun. It's a fun word. Told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who, circle the word told again, told these things to the apostles. That's the 11 of them. Judas has hung himself. He's dead. He's in hell. Verse 11, but their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Those two words told, the word in Greek means they wouldn't shut their mouth. You say, yeah, but Jack, they're women. They're talking and... That's not what it means. By the way, ladies, check this out. Yeah, I'm wondering if what I'm about to say. I'm wondering if this is why there's more women who attend prayer meetings than men. I'm wondering if that's why there's more women who do our, for example, our call, evangelism outreach, more than men. What's the deal? Women have more of a tendency to raise their hands in worship than men. Did you know that? Men seem to be somewhat sequestered when it comes to these kinds of things. I wonder if it has to do with something like this. When Jesus had risen from the dead, who did angels show themselves first to? Women. Who were the first evangelists to tell that Jesus had risen from the dead? Women. in a culture where a woman's testimony was not admissible in court because they were thought to be a little off, unworthy of testimony. Isn't that sad? That's what men thought, but God thinks different. And so these women are coming. And they run in there. There's Peter and all the guys. They're all there. A bunch of people are there. We saw him. Angels. And they said he rose from the dead. He's risen from the dead. We saw angels. And they announced that he's risen from the dead. They repeated that over and over again to the point where these words are used here. They thought they were out of their minds. Well, the tomb was empty. And you need to match the facts against what's proclaimed. Take the Bible. I challenge any skeptic in the house. Go ahead. Your life's endeavor. Take the Bible. Prove it wrong. When you find something wrong, write a book. Become the first person in the world to prove the Bible wrong, and you'll be a billionaire. So go for it. People have tried, and they only become believers, like Lee Strobel did, and Josh McDowell and others who did. The unthinkable. Mark it. The unthinkable happened, verse 12. This is our third point. The unthinkable has happened. I love this. Look at verse 12. To think that death, mark it down, to think that death had been defeated is all what's in verse 12 here. You guys, check this out. The unthinkable had happened. What's the unthinkable? Church, listen, before we go any further, death has plagued the hearts of men since the beginning. My mom, I told you guys a long time ago, my mom grew up in a very pagan culture, worshiping all kinds of gods. There's over 1,000 Polynesian gods of the South Pacific. Everything that happened in my home, there was a voodoo reason why. If you woke up too early, it was because of this situation. If you woke up too late, it was because of this situation. If your ears were ringing, these demons were doing this. And if that thing was going on, then it was the god of this doing that. It was insanity. I don't know what form of child abuse you had growing up, but we've all had it. And my form of child abuse was, my mom was a clean freak. And I'm a pig. And so my mom would say, okay, it's summertime, you know, it's no school. Get out of your room. Go play. Get outside. Go. Get out. And I'm just a little guy. And my mom would clean the room, and she knew that if I got back in the room, it'd be disaster. So my mom would say, now you can't go in this room. When I come back in the house, you can't go in that room. I just cleaned it. Well, I'm like, meow. And she would say, the Menahunis are going to get you. Listen. The Menahunis are Hawaiian demons. And then at night, my dad would say, go to bed. I ain't going in there. Believe the strangest, goofiest things. I bring that up because she would drive around the blocks to avoid a cemetery because of the spirits that are there. Thank God, 4 weeks before my mom died, she accepted Jesus. Amazing. Check this out. Death plagues the hearts of men, and so it should. But don't think for a moment that death is the end. It's a door that leads to a fiery pit that God did not create for human beings, says the Bible. He doesn't want anybody to go there. Or it leads to the gates of eternity in heaven with him forever. The amazing thing is, think, come on, you can do this. In a moment, you're going to choose what you're going to have for lunch, aren't you? You're going to choose. You chose today what you put on. You're going to choose what you're going to do this and where you're going to turn left and what you're going to choose. And you love that, don't you? It's called freedom. You have that freedom, don't you? Here's the terrifying thing. You also have the freedom to choose heaven or hell. Don't think for a moment, you silly person, you're going to blame God. Oh man, if God is a God of love, then why is he going to send people to hell? He doesn't send anybody there. Read your Bible. People get in line to go in of themselves.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Death had been defeated by Jesus. Now, come on. Forget religion. It's good that you do. Isn't that what you really want, huh? Jesus defeated death. I mean, that's what you really want, isn't it? If I could give you change you could believe in, vote for me. Vote change. Hey, what if I could give you your ability to choose? Well, what would you choose? Think about it. Somewhere along, probably in the top five or top 10, you would choose something really radical like, I choose that there'd be no more death anymore. People live forever. That's normal. Don't you want to live forever? You want to live, you don't want to die. That's normal. God put life in you. Well, then why don't you believe it when Jesus says it? Hey, you know that thing you want? The thing that God put inside you? You've been created in the image of God, says the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Well, that very thing. You love life, don't you? It's normal. Do you understand? It is normal, glorious, and God-like to love life. I'll blow your mind. I believe it is God-like. Now, whatever you like, my thing is, it is God-like to have a hot chocolate chip cookie with ice-cold milk. We laugh because we can relate to that and we know that it's good. And you go like this, you drink that milk, it's so cold. And the cookie's so gooey warm. And you go, oh. Listen, who made the milk taste so good? Why does the cookie taste the way that it does? And why do you like it? Why does your tongue do what it does and then sends a message to your brain? More milk, more cookies, more milk, more cookies. How does that happen? God did that. God did that. You walk out of here today and the sun is shining, the mountains are covered in snow, it's so beautiful, and you go, man, it's a nice day. Did you know that awareness is to bring you to the rest of the story? It's such a nice day. Thank you, God. All these cookies are nice and warm. Thank you, God. Thank God for cows. Love them. Ice cold cow. Woo! God does that. God does that. And we walk around life. Give me that. Give me this. And we're not thankful for nothing. I know we are, but other churches and other people are. We're so thankful. Oh, God, you're amazing. And there are people who don't even think about what God has given them. It's amazing to me. The unthinkable, he defeated death. It's what we want. Verse 12 goes on, mark it down, to think this, that Jesus Christ has conquered the grave. Oh, I've told you before. I'm sorry. My mind is stuck in this groove. When I think of the grave, my sister's in the grave. My mom's in the grave. My dad's in the grave. When I think about the grave, who do you know in the grave who are believers? I've told you before, on the day the rapture happens, I would love to be doing a funeral at Forest Lawn. Or Rose Hills. And we gather together and the Bible says in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye and, you know, Brother John, his body's here, but as, can you imagine? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13, concerning those who have died believing in Jesus, it says that when the Lord comes in the atmosphere, he's going to call up the dead bodies. He's going to bring, by the way, John in spirit with him, okay? Then it's going to be the resurrected body. And John is going to meet his resurrected body, like Jesus' resurrected body. We'll talk about that next week. It's going to be awesome. What kind of body it was. Oh, it's going to be fun. You have a great future ahead of you. And can you imagine doing a funeral and you just, now they're lowering the casket into the ground. And right then the lid blows off. Poof! Because the Bible says those who are dead will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Can you imagine? And now we're like, oh, man! And then, whoosh. It's going to happen someday. I just want to be doing a funeral when it happens. It's like, eh. Oh, man. The Bible says that this corruption will put on incorruption, that this mortal will put on immortality. Woo! And then finally we end this. It's verse 12, to think that life is bigger than we had thought. Did you know that? Look, it says, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed marveling to himself at what had happened. Two things. You see the word but right there, but Peter, that's a big but. Circle that but. Highlight it, underline it, huge. Why? But, here's the deal. Everybody else is in the room laughing. These women are nuts! Peter is silent. That but means his gears are going. Peter takes off running. Where's he run? To the tomb. Stop right there. Who was in the Bible very recently in big trouble for having denied Jesus? Who's the one running to the tomb? Did you know in another gospel, the angel appears and says, go tell the disciples he's risen from the dead and tell Peter. Isn't that awesome? Peter's running. Boom, 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 boom. He runs to the tomb, stoops down, looks inside, and he begins to marvel. The word in Greek for marvel is the word to be completely undone. He's completely overwhelmed. Whatever Peter believed is being rearranged. It means to be restructured. He's completely changing right there. He marveled. That's my prayer for you today. If you're a believer, as I am, I pray that we marvel and we continue to change. Amen? If you're not a believer today, I pray that right now you are marveling at this crazy message. Life from the dead, Jesus being risen from the grave, what the Bible says about it. That's right. Choose today. Nope, I reject that. Or I think I'm starting to marvel. I think something's happening. Pastor, I don't like you. I don't like this church. I don't like half the stuff you said, but some of the stuff I heard got my gears going. Hey, you know what? We're happy about that. It has nothing to do with us. We can't do a thing for you anyway. Let's be honest. It's all about Jesus. You need him big time. And if this morning you're saying, you know what? This thing about heaven, hell, and Jesus died for my sins on the cross. I can understand that. I could get into that. I could start life over. Let me ask you, we'll wrap this thing up. How well have you been running your life so far? Doing pretty good, are you? Well, that's good. I'm glad. But what are you going to do to scrub away the sin that's still stuck to your soul? The stuff that you've been trying to drink away, drug away, ignore? What are you going to do about it when God says, now let's take a look at the behind the scenes, Joe, and everything's going to be revealed.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called And on the Third Day. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com. I have Pastor Jack in the studio right now, and we're catching up about our current featured resource, the one-year Bible. So for folks that have never seen the one-year Bible, are we just going straight through the Bible from the beginning to the end, or how does that work? How does the format work?
Yes and no. Yes, you'll start in Genesis, but here's what happens. You'll read a chapter or two. It depends on the size of the chapters, but they've engineered it in such a way where you'll read an Old Testament passage, then it will take you into a New Testament passage, right? Mm-hmm. And then it will take you into a Psalms, and then it will take you into Proverbs. In one day, for 365 days.
That's fantastic.
Epic.
Now, we found that there's a lot of power in reading this together as a congregation.
Yeah.
Something about thousands of people going through the same pages of the Bible together. It's really profound, isn't it?
Well, it's amazing because the scriptures say in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I cannot read that without thinking of the real power. I'm not talking about explosive power. I'm not talking about lifting weight power.
Yeah.
The power of God's word, when you ingest the Bible, there is a power that only the real believer knows about, and that is experiencing the life of God's word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, the scripture says. It's able to make that which is dead live again, spiritually speaking. So what we've experienced, Davey, as a church, is that when we're all on the same page literally every day throughout the year, we will hear people discussing,
oh, did you read today's reading? Can you believe it's so much in line with the news or what happened right. or what I'm going through? And that's the power of God's word. That's what his word does.
That's interesting because my wife and I are doing a little bit of a Bible study. And when we do that, we catch up with each other at the refrigerator, you know, and say, yeah. did you check out what the, yeah, we get into these conversations yeah. about the Bible because we're on the same page.
Yep, exactly.
All right, that's the 1 year Bible, and it's our current featured resource. Join us this year, would you? Experience the power of reading through the Bible along with thousands of fellow believers. Receive a copy of the 1 year Bible when you give a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Here's our website, jackhibbs.com. Once again, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.